Last fall, in October, Anne-Marie and I and my dearest friend in the coast, Doug Goings, and his wife, Candy, headed up a tour to Israel. It was a busload of folks, some 45, and I tell you, it was one of the finer trips that I've ever taken, because that particular group of people, we just became this family. And even when we came back, there were parties and slideshows and all kinds of memories and gifts, and it's still going on. They're still doing it, meeting once a month to review all the things that they learned in Israel and how it affects them when they read the scriptures. And one of the things that we really enjoyed was coming together, whatever area we were in, whether we're up in the north or the south, up in Galilee or down in Jerusalem and Judea. One of the things we enjoyed very, very much is coming together at mealtime and kind of going over some of the things we learned that particular day. And so in these different hotels, they'd have tables that could at least sit some 8 people. So on this particular night that I want to tell you about, there were 8 of us, all good friends, served the Lord for many years together, husbands and wives. And we began to talk about our children. And we began to realize that all of us, most of us, have had our children raised, but there were 2 couples still there that had 2 teenagers left, each in each home, and but just about ready to leave. One was a senior, one was a junior in the one home, the other were a couple seniors. In the course of that particular conversation, we shifted from the conversation about the land in which we were dwelling, the land in which we were exploring, Israel, and began to talk about actors and actresses and movies and shows and things that we'd seen. And so the question out on the table was, what's your favorite actor? Who is your favorite actor or actress? Or what's your favorite movie? And so we went around the table, and it came my turn, and I said, well, to be very sincere and very honest, one of my favorite people, I don't know why, but one of my favorite people is Madonna. And now that gave that same kind of thing at the table. And a mother, dear friend of mine, but a mother of 3 teenagers, 3 young people, 2 teenagers still at home, 1 in college, said, how could you say that? How could you like that woman? Do you realize how corrupt she is? Do you realize how perverted she is? Do you realize her moral character? Do you realize the image that she's giving to our generation of young people? I can't believe that you like her. I said, I'm sorry, but I do. In fact, I love her. And I'm really not talking about what she does with her life. What I'm talking about, I said to my friend, is that she was created in the image of God, and he loves her. And as one of his children, I also love her. And but I agree with you. She is not the model I would put up before my children. And I'm really sorry for what she gets into and what she portrays and how she sings, how she acts, and how she is arrogant. I'm not in charge of that. I'm responsible to see her as created in the image of God, and to pray for her and to love her as God loves her. I know at times that we have certain people in our lives that their lives are so unrighteous that it offends our righteousness, the righteousness that God has given us in Christ. But at no time opens the door for us to be the judge of anyone. We can be discerning. We can protect our children or ourselves from their influence, but we are not to judge them because they're still breathing, they're still on this earth, and the story is not over in their lives. At times we need to remind ourselves that God loves the Madonnas of this world and demonstrated that love by sending his son to die on a cross. For their sins, we like that, for our sins, oh yeah, and the sins of the world. For we've all sinned against God, according to Romans 3:23. And why did he do that? Why did he die for all of us who are sinners? Why did Jesus die for all of us who are sinners? So that all of us who have sinned against the living God, all of us who were the enemies of God, all of us who deserve the full wrath of God, could be finally reconciled to our Creator. When a Madonna confesses Jesus as Lord and Savior, she is covered with His righteousness, saved from God's wrath, her sins are forgiven, and as she is restored to unity and harmony with God, and her heart is filled with His peace and joy by the Holy Spirit that also now dwells within her. Any Madonna who will bow her knee to Jesus as Lord gets all those gifts just like you did. The Apostle Paul picks up on the love of the Father he has for the world during a speech he made to the Athenians on Mars Hill. The Epicureans, those who were sold out to pleasure. The Stoics, who were sold out to pain and punishment. And in Acts 17, he says this: "From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live." It is God who takes the responsibility out of one man, Adam, to create a series of nations in different generations and put people in those nations and put those people in exact places within those nations. Do you ever wonder why you were born and raised in America instead of perhaps Japan or Canada or New Zealand or France or the islands of Java? Did you ever wonder why you were born in the 20th century instead of the 3rd or the 12th or the 18th? Did you ever wonder why you're living in Colorado Springs? I have. At this time in your life, instead of Hawaii and France, Bosnia, Morocco, Israel, or Half Moon Bay. Peter answers these deep questions for all of us when he told the Athenians, now listen carefully, please, when he told the Athenians that God put us in this season, in this town, in this generation, in this exact place, in your exact address, why? God did this so that men and women would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, for He's not far from each one of us. That's why you live exactly where you're living today at this moment in the history of humanity. Not for your pleasure, though it's there. Not for your joy, though you may find some. Not so you could brag about it. Not so you could be proud about it. He puts you where you are at this moment, the very address that you have, so that men and women around you might find Jesus. Now that puts a whole nother slant on your house, doesn't it? That puts a whole nother view on Colorado Springs. That puts a whole nother view as you drive out your driveway or drive in today and you walk up to your door and you see that address. And for the first time, perhaps many of you go, "Oh, I know why I'm here. Not because I got a job here. Not because I was raised here. I know why I'm here. I'm here so that men and women all around me in this neighborhood might find Jesus Christ." Can you imagine the work that God has done so that men and women can enjoy salvation like you're enjoying it? Richie, 1535 Longview. Yo, I like 1536. 1535 Longview. Why? So the people in 1536 can hear about Jesus. And 37 and 42. See it? Do you understand who you are? That's what He's doing. He loves the world, and He wants men and women in His plan of salvation, and He's going to do it through men and women like you and myself, who He calls ministers of reconciliation. Ministers of reconciliation. And that includes the fact that we're to go out into the world and meet with those men and women and the many Madonnas that God places in our life. After Paul left Athens, he went on to the wicked city of Corinth, Greece, and reminded the new Christian community there, all former sinners against God and each other, that he had called them out of this world system in order for them to mature in Christ and walk back into that world system as his ministers of reconciliation. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18 and 19. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, he's going to define the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their transgressions against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now hold on to that just for a minute, put you into context. As you remember, we began with this thankful letter from Paul to the Corinthians because the elders and the people of Corinth finally understood that the false prophets in town that they thought were true, the false prophets were leading the people of Corinth astray. And he told them, the reason I couldn't get to Corinth when I said I wanted to, the reason I couldn't keep my word though I wanted to, the reason is I ran into this horrible trial in Asia. But out of that trial, I've learned some basic spiritual principles that have just nailed my life to Christ. I've learned that I'm free at last now to no longer trust in myself, but the God who raises the dead. I'm free at last to be a servant of a new covenant. I'm free at last to live a transparent life. I'm free at last to contain the light of Jesus. I'm free at last to taste eternity now. I'm free at last to please Jesus in everything that I do, and I'm free at last to be a minister of reconciliation. Now, all these things, he says, are from God. What things? Well, note that God first is the initiator of our salvation and then our new life in Christ. Paul said in verse 17, therefore, if any man or woman is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old things pass away, behold, new things have come. What are the old things? Well, my whole immoral lifestyle, my whole selfish way of living life, the way I treated men and women and children, all that is passing away. Now I have this new life. I'm a new creature in Christ. New things have come. What are those new things? Well, it holds men and women high value. I seek to live my life after the character of Christ. I'm depending on the Holy Spirit instead of me. I'm eliminating the self-dependence, the self-assurance, the self-motivation, the self, a thousand times the self, when I was Lord of my life, giving my life over to another. My life is no longer my own. It's bought with a price. And because of that reality, everything is new. And I begin with my new eyes to see things I never saw before that are on a spiritual level. I begin to hear things I never heard before on a spiritual level. I begin to understand God's heart and what he's all about in the society in which I live right now. That's what Paul is saying. These new things allow our risen Lord to express himself in love through us in our daily encounter within the spiritual family as well as in the world of fallen humanity all around us. I was watching MTV in November, and a young woman was interviewing Madonna. And that particular part of the interview was designed to ask Madonna about her childhood. And we discover by listening to that she was raised by a mother that she loved, but who died when she was 6 years old. She was passed off then to her father and an extended family of uncles and aunts. In that interview, we discovered that Madonna had a great knack for dancing and singing, writing. And so she, when she became a young woman, a teenager in her late teens, she went off to New York to begin this whole new life of hers. When she got there, she was raped, then abused by a whole bunch of people that met her there and lied to her. She married. That marriage fell apart. She struggled after that with lots of failures, lots of ridicule, but she kept going. She made a lot of mistakes, got involved in a lot of immorality, mocked the church a lot, but she was growing, learning, according to this interview. Then the interviewer, I don't think the interviewer knew what she was saying when she did that, but when she said it, but she said this, asked this question. Madonna, now that you're rich and famous, what is it that you want? And without a moment of pause, she said, I want a mother. Because if I had a mother, maybe I would have gotten a moral compass that would have helped me not get involved in some of the things that I've been involved in. Yes, I want a mother. I don't think we usually think of Madonna in that light, do we? We get so involved in judging others that we can't see the love that God has for that woman. He loves her and wants her to come into a personal relationship with Him. And the spiritual truth we continue to forget is the one so beautifully stated in the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world, that includes you and me, as well as all the Madonnas of this generation, that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. And God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. I asked my friend, we're still at the table now back in Israel and Jerusalem, I asked my friend if she would mind praying for Madonna's salvation. And she said, like now? And I said, like right now. And she said, you know, Ron, I'll do that. I'll do that. I understand. It's not the, we don't agree with the sin, but she's created in the image of God. So she prayed for Madonna that night. And she has been praying for Madonna's salvation ever since. I just got a new book. It's entitled, What Would Jesus Say to Certain Celebrities in This Community and in other places? And one was, What Would Jesus Say to Madonna? Great article on Christ's love for women like Madonna. I sent it to her right away. And every time we see each other now, she'll go, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. God loves the Madonnas of this world, and but for the grace of God in our lives, many of us would probably be found standing in a line somewhere this week hoping to get a ticket to the latest Madonna concert or movie. Now, all these things are from God who reconciles us to Himself through Christ, verse 18. All of us were born with the same rebellious nature that our father Adam expressed in the Garden of Eden. God told him not to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or he would die spiritually, emotionally, eventually physically. Adam heard God say that, but he turned around and with the help of his wife Eve, took some of the forbidden fruit. Later Paul would say, as you recall, in Romans 5, through one man came disobedience, and the many were made sinners. Sin severed Adam, as well as all his children, of which I was one, over the generations, from the life, the righteousness, the peace, the joy, the fellowship, and the blessings of God. Since God is holy and God is just, justice has to be served. All Adam's children were born in sin and were immediately separated from God. Mankind was placed under the wrath of God. The wrath of God, according to Romans 1, is when God lets men and women try to live their lives without Him. What is it like to live your life when you're the Lord of your life? Look at Ephesians, will you? Chapter 2, the first three verses. Ephesians chapter 2, the first three verses. I'm reading from the New American Standard. He's talking to these Ephesians who were in a city that's dedicated to the goddess Diana and all its horrible prostitutional cult features. All you Ephesians, and you were dead in your sins, your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, you were put on a course, and all you did when you were born and started to grow up, you just kept walking on this course, All you did was walk on this course. You didn't know what else to do. It was just this one course, and it was all designed by Satan, and all you did was walk on this course. Reminds me of the modern malls. I don't think half the people know why they're there. It's Friday. We got to go on the course. You been to Eddie Bauer's yet? Yeah, I was there last week. How about Nordstrom's? We don't have one. All right, how about Sears? It's too cheap. All right, how about, oh, look at her. Oh, look at him. Oh, look. Oh, gee. You know, a course. I hope I don't catch you in one of those malls, because you'll see I'm on the course sometimes too. I went to a movie the other night, saw Star Wars. Half of you were there. What is this course we're on? I just walked out to find my grandson. These people jump. Hi, Ron. Hi, your seat's over here. Hey, come. Five people right there. Nothing wrong with that if you're in charge of the course. But if you are on a course that's designed by Satan, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among them we too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. That's where we used to be before we met Jesus. Indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. What a horrible picture. Madonna, at this very moment, and all the Madonnas of this world, are currently living among the breathing dead. And suffering the terrible consequences of their sin. Do you remember when you had your own season as a member of the breathing dead? You were breathing, but you were not living life as you believed it could be lived. Because deep down in your soul, you knew something was missing. There was an emptiness, a hollow place that you now know could be filled only by God Himself. See, all these people that are on this treadmill have fallen short of the glory of God. They have all sinned against God in this horrible condition that they're in. They look beautiful. Look absolutely beautiful. They look strong, they look handsome, they look wealthy, and most of them are caught. And all you got to do is talk to them, which I love doing. The thrill of them all is that people will sit down. You finally got them off of 25, and now they'll sit down. And they'll talk to you about their lives. And in time, the hollowness comes out. Is there any hope for those kind of people? Well, God does something that we have nothing to do. If you look at 4 and 5, it says in Ephesians, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, made us alive together with Christ." What's that mean? He reconciled us to Himself. He who does not need to be reconciled to mankind opened the door so that mankind would have a hunger to be reconciled to God. We who were His enemies, we who were the sinners, we who lived in total rebellion against God, God by His Spirit started to move within our hearts, and there was a hunger to find out if there was more to life than what I could see, than what I could touch, than what I could taste. In the New Testament, it possesses the idea to change thoroughly from one position to another. By the death of Jesus Christ, the sinful world of humanity is changed in its relationship to God. God now is able to deal with the living dead in light of what Christ has accomplished on the cross. By this change, lost humanity is rendered savable. For now, the Holy Spirit is set free to awaken the will of the breathing dead to consider the offer of salvation that can be only found in His Son, Jesus Christ. Once they, as well as each one of us, accept this offer of love and grace and invite Christ to become our Lord and His Savior, we become, in His words, born again. New creatures in Christ. Children of God. And we're placed in the salvation story because we placed our faith in the Son who produces the salvation. We have no power to save anyone, but we become a fragrance of Christ and are commissioned to become His minister of reconciliation, to share the good news of salvation to everyone who's in the process of being saved. We don't know who they are, so we treat everybody as in that process. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Our sins are forgiven. We're redeemed. We're adopted. We're beloved. We can go to the God of the universe and say, Abba, Abba, Papa. And any Abba in this room knows what he'll do with a child who says that. He'll hug him, put him on his lap. I had the greatest. At Star Wars, my 6-year-old grandson wanted to sit on Abba's lap the whole movie. Why? Safe from Darth Vader. And every time he heard the voice, he just grabbed onto me. Because Abba was there to protect him from Darth Vader, because I'd seen the movie 20 years earlier and I knew the outcome. We win! He loses! No big deal, Renee. Relax. I know the end of the book. Jesus says, no sweat. I know the end of the story. He's been already dealt with at the cross, the enemy. Don't worry about the enemy. Worry about your relationship with me if you want to worry. Jesus gave us a model of reconciliation as the Father directed him by his Spirit over and over again in the Gospels. For he became a minister of reconciliation in the life of a religious man named Nicodemus, a minister of reconciliation to the Samaritan woman at the well, the woman who was caught in adultery, the demonic named Legion, Mary Magdalene who had the 7 demons, and the 2 hated tax collectors, Matthew and Zacchaeus, among many others. And his whole ministry of reconciliation can be summed up in the story of the prodigal son. Now, I want you to notice something in this passage. I want to remind you of an important distinction here. While the sins, plural of humanity, have been dealt with by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, our Lord told his disciple he was going to send to them the Holy Spirit, who would, through them, convict the world of sin, singular. And what is that sin? John 16, 5-11 says, the sin of not believing that Jesus was the Son of God and the world's only Savior. Men and women in this community today can have reconciliation with God because the sin issue has been dealt with. I think the thing that we lose, I think the thing we lose perspective of is that all the sins of Madonna up to this very day have already been forgiven when Jesus Christ went to the cross. The issue for Madonna is not the forgiveness of sins. That's dealt with. That's over. That's finished. The question is, Madonna, will you accept the gift of forgiveness in my son Jesus? That's the issue. So if all the sins are forgiven, then our ministry is one in which we bring the gift of reconciliation to those around us and say, open it, open it. There's life, there's peace, there's joy, there's eternal life, there's forgiveness. It's all in the box. Open it. Now, isn't it funny? At Christmas time, you don't have to tell any 6-year-old to open his box. Did you notice that? They don't walk around that and say, well, what did you get me? Are you sure it's for me? I don't know. It's really pretty paper. Wow, I love the card. You will never find a 6-year-old do that. You'll find some destroyed adult that suspects everybody that it's a pipe bomb. But never a 6-year-old. And we need to be available to carry the gift of Jesus Christ wrapped in his blood and his forgiveness and his love and his grace and his mercy and present it to all those around us. That's our responsibility. That's our commission as ministers, saying to everyone in our community where we live right now by God's determined plan, everyone in that block, God loves them. Period. if you're judging someone, you can't love them. If you're loving them, you can't judge them. We got to judge. He's holy and just and righteous. Let's let him do what he does best, because he judges hearts, not action. Is there hope for Madonna's reconciliation with her Creator? According to Vogue magazine, there is. And you all get that, but it won't fit in your mailbox. But if you read the article in November, she told the interviewer in Vogue that the whole world reads. You listen to this, the whole world reads Vogue. The ones who are on the treadmill, they get it in their treading. You can't be in the world and not have Vogue. Listen carefully. Please listen carefully how valuable you are, because someone was very valuable in her life. Listen, November. Madonna indicated that she wants to raise her daughter. This is the daughter she called Lourdes, you know, of Lourdes in France. Okay, the place of healing. She wants to raise her daughter. Listen. She wants to raise her daughter to have a moral compass. Though her activity often involves, or stage show often involves, rather blasphemous use of religious symbols, Madonna says that she intends to tell her daughter that she believes in God. Don't even touch it. Don't get near it. Don't mess it up. And to introduce her to Catholicism. She wants to have her child raised in the church that she made the most fun of. Though Madonna cultivates the image of kinky sex, she wants none of that for her daughter. She admits that she does not want her children to see her book on sex and promises to be a tough mother. Keep praying. You see, what God does, which is so wonderful, and all of us who have ever been engaged, we can identify with this. Engaged couples, they woo each other. I didn't say to my wife, hey, it's Thursday, listen, let's marry by Friday, okay, I got a job on Saturday. That's not a wooing relationship. That's master-slave. The Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, woos us with love. He woos us with love. He's bringing back Madonna's early history as a six-year-old. And when some nuns poured their life and the scriptures into her heart, she's now remembering this, and the Spirit's just bringing it all back. And she's listening. And she also said, I'm going to have my little girl read the Bible. There's some good stories in there. Fine, leave it alone. They are good stories, but we know the Holy Spirit superintends the scriptures, so we'll let the Holy Spirit do His work. We won't judge that. We'll just keep praying, right? We're all going to pray for Madonna's salvation. Isn't that true? Because we love her, because God loves her, because she's creating His image, right? Isn't that true? That's what we're into. That's what ministers of reconciliation do. That's our responsibility. Now, if you're praying for Madonna, and you're asking the Spirit to woo her into the kingdom and the plan of salvation, if you are praying for her daughter, that her daughter will accept the Lord, and her children's children will accept the Lord, and her children's 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 will accept the Lord, then where are you going to have time for gossip or judgment? You run out of time, because you're in step with the Lord. Where are you going today, Lord? Over to Madonna's house. What? Really? Yes. You want to follow me? I'll make you become fishers of rock stars. Yeah, but she says she's a movie actor now. Ah, so be it. Okay, come on. Hey, Madonna, you want to go to lunch? Bring the baby. Come on. Tell me about it. Why'd you name her that way? Why would you want to live any other way? Why would you want? Why would you want to spend one moment doing anything else but praying for Madonna and the Madonnas of this world? Why would you want to do that? I don't understand it. I don't understand it when I do it. God is in the ministry of reconciliation, and He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's all good news. As God's children and members of the body of Christ, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to spread the good news of the love of Christ, which has been fully expressed in the life, the death, and the resurrection of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. The Father's righteous and holy demands have been satisfied in the death of His Son for the sin of each one of us. The door between God and man is open again. We can go home. We can be reconciled to God. We can be welcomed as a child. For God demonstrated His great love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for all of us. And once you come and accept that gift, you are immediately stamped, commissioned, knighted, blessed as a minister of reconciliation. The message? You can come home. Because of Jesus, the door to salvation is open to the Father's house. Now. Let me have a word of prayer. Stand with me and then we're going to sing together, okay? Well, Father, it certainly is easier to judge Madonna than love her. But because of your Holy Spirit, there is some room now for the love that you have for her to flow through us too. Lord, I agree with you. We don't condone her lifestyle. We hate it because it's killing her. You can't sin like that and not pay consequences, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But somehow, you brought someone into her life, and by your Spirit, she got religious. And we want you to move her from being religious into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ within whatever church that you put her in. Would you help us to be free at last to love people like her until you come again? Please help us, Father, and forgive us. We're so complex sometimes. Please forgive us when we begin to judge instead of love. Help us, I pray.